Right, so it's podcast 55, and like buses, we come two after each other, and we're in The Hague, and we're all a bit tipsy. And I will say, we had a nightmare journey yesterday with Shane, and it took 4 hours on the Eurostar, and all we got was a Twix, and I'd been Mr. Sensible, which isn't my ilk sometimes, of we'll pace ourselves all over a long day. So I only had one beer with me. I nicked one of Shane's. I said, no, it's a marathon, not a sprint. And then by the end of the... we had to get commuter trains from Brussels. We ended up on this fucking overheating commuter train for an hour and a half where someone stank of tramp shit. And I thought Shane's ass was leaking.
That probably was my ass.
And I actually thought, I never will. And there was about a 30-minute period where I just thought, either get me off this train or I'm pulling the cord and I'm running through a fucking field in Holland. Just go and let me get to The Hague. We got there in the end. We had a good night. Shane and Mark don't admit this, but we did, at the end of the night, I think 5 Den Haag fans preserving their fucking local mentality followed us. And then bizarrely, we went round a corner to, you know, we're not even lovers or fighters, and we walked round the corner, and then two others were waiting in a little bar, and they went, we love Liverpool, as if like that was the common for us to fight them. And it reminded me, dear old Rob, who I miss so fucking much, we were in Turin in the 90s and we got attacked, and we managed to run. So it taught me one thing: you don't think you can run in life, you can when you've been. And one of them had a like machete thing, and it was like Indiana Jones. I'm sure I've mentioned this, but the funny thing is he had a machete, and he also had a chain of metal that he was going to attack us with, but he had a York City shirt on because they'd just beaten us in the League Cup. So this massive, demented... This massive, demented Italian hooligan who would have stabbed us had a York City shirt. So these hooligans think they can get in. Like, in what world would you go, I love Liverpool? Oh, yeah, come on then, let's have Queensbury Rules. So, that was the night. We're in The Hague. That conversation has led on with a lot of people, Coggy, saying that in the 70s, the Red Army used to steal scarves, silk scarves.
Yeah, I mean, the reason why this came about was because talking about opposing fans nicking flags and turning them upside down, which personally I think is absolutely pathetic. But yeah, back in the day when football was football, as part of the ritual going to a game, you'd have a bit of banter.
What did United do with them though? What did you do with your silk scarf after you nicked
it? Ironically, you'd wear them the next game. So you do the away game, and then you turn up on the Stretford End or wherever you are, wearing the opposing team's scarf.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Whoever it was, even like Scousers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You'd wear it because it was the spoils of war, I guess.
That's your honour.
Tied for your belt loop.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you turn. I never knew that.
So you turn up the week after, and you'd be bearing the scarf of the team who we played the week before.
The victims of the week before.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Badge of honour.
I mean, we just called it banter. I mean, people these days might call it hooliganism, but you know.
Yeah. And you smashed up a town. Yeah, I mean, used to have fun. But like. And I will say the last thing.
We just called it a banter
on the podcast on. I'm trying to Monday. I swore an awful lot, and I apologise for that because someone did pull me up on it. I just can't help myself, and it is bad saying fucking and fucking and fucking and fucking all the time. So I'll try and respect myself. Right, so cheers, everyone. Right, so there's quite a group of us. I've waffled on enough, so I'm going to go one. Where do you reckon to get it to United? Mark, where are we right now? And what? How do we solve
that's
it?
Where we
no,
are.
No, no, no.
We are temp, and that is exactly where we deserve.
Yeah. No, but I know, but that's the state we're in. We're saying the last thing.
Can we talk about Brexit instead?
No, that's as yeah, but that's
so bad it is, yeah, Barney.
That's
we are where we are. I think 10th is where we are.
I think it's
we probably deserve to be 10th. We're probably the 10th best team in the league. I don't see it changing anytime soon, but. There's a lot of brighter bits, isn't there? There's brighter bits that we see. We play better football than we...
Is there,
though?
As I said...
It's more exciting to watch. I mean, it might be more exciting because the other teams are better.
Yeah, but it wasn't at West Ham. It wasn't against Rochdale. I don't want Ollie to be sacked. I don't want him. But going over, like as we keep saying, we're just going over a circle, endless. But I don't see this high-pressing game anymore that we were promised. I don't see the high-intensity football that we were promised. It's sort of, you cannot tell the difference in any of this side.
As I said, when Fergie retired, it'll be post-Busby revisited, and it's exactly where we are.
But what did it get this bad?
It got worse than this, but we're
well, relegation.
We're not far off.
No, but we're never going to be relegated. You know, that is never going to happen.
We said that then. We said that
did
then
you,
we
though?
Were.
Did you?
Everybody said we'd never be relegated, and we were.
I think the problem is we've come from an unprecedented period of success. So anything that happens now, I think, is escalated by the fact that the success we've had, and because City are doing well. It'll never improve while the Glazers and Woodward are there. Full stop. You know, like we haven't got a plan from the top through down to the bottom.
How does Woodward?
Why would you get rid of Ollie though in the current climate?
No, I wouldn't.
No, but in the current climate and everything Ollie says, I think we all he's trying to do, and I think we all agree. Who are the best three players so far this season? Yeah. The three lads that he signed. Yeah. And if he continues in that vein, then happy days. But it doesn't change the fact that the rest of the squad is rotten to the core, but and they're poor level.
They will sack him, I fear, because to protect their own butt. You know, as soon as the pressure grows,
I disagree. The pressure will come from the supporters, and this is where I think we let ourselves.
Yeah, but the match going supporters or the supporters that exist on Twitter, yeah,
but
Facebook,
Twitter as well, because that's the club at looking at.
But that's the devil, isn't it? That's the devil of the club.
I think. What they said the other week at the financial thing was very telling. It was, we see this as 3 years before we can get back to the level we want. Now, that to me said, we're not going to invest in this team any more than we've done already this summer. You know, we can solve the problem in theory next season by spending 150, 200 million. We're not going to do that. It's going to be net 60, 70 million. And I think they'll support Solskjaer. Because he fits in with that plan, basically. Until somebody like Pochettino gets sacked, then.
Yeah, but we were saying this earlier because my view, and this isn't inconsistent to what I've said before, that Pochettino is young enough. His time could come in 4 or 5 years. If they rush, he's damaged goods at the moment as well. So why rush into something that I like Jose? Now Fergie's gone, the manager for a decade, a lifetime, is gone. We will get Pochettino at some stage in our lifetime. I think that's inevitable. But Woodward's met him, though, twice, in the last year. So Woodward has always wanted him. But you don't need to rush. Let him, let him take over Madrid for a year, 2 years. There's no... But the point for me is they could have bought the midfield and striker that Ollie needed. He would have wanted, and their failings. So if what you're saying is we are only going to spend net 70, and I know we sound like Arsenal fans, 70 million net, you're not competing with anyone. You're not even competing with Wolves at that level now.
No.
But we're a money machine.
Hundreds of
we're
millions.
Yeah, but that will never happen in the Glazers, will it? Where we are.
Coggett, someone last night, a lad I really respect and like, said, just stop going on about the Glazers. Because I realise, like, my Twitter account and all that is just endlessly... But if we're not putting it and not saying it, then no one... You know what I mean? You can't... You've got to, like...
But I said on Saturday, Sunday,
Monday. So we're a fanzine, though. You have to. The whole root cause of this goes back to Glazers, and you say it to people, but obviously we're all bored of saying it. We're all bored of talking about it.
Well, under the Glazers, there, we talked about this earlier. The loss of Fergie, David Gill. It was a bigger loss,
massive.
But they have spent 800 million, I get that. But it's been the scattergun. But how can you defend? Well, Schneiderlin cost 25 million.
He that does. Said, I think what Ollie's doing, I believe in. Will he be given the time? That is good. He won't, but that's a shame.
But playing devil's advocate. Does Ollie have the tactical nous, the game management, to progress to the level we want to in the time required?
I think there's been some real poor. One thing I will say, football. I think the intent has been better, but some of the decisions during games
You do. And we're getting a lot of injuries.
You have to massive
question. It's not just decisions. It's not even decisions during the game. It's actually team selections. Some of his team selections have been predictable and safe.
You know, Pereira on the right wing. Well, that's an odd decision to me.
Yeah, but Coggy, you can't put a 17-year-old in for 20 games at the start of the season. How desperate does that? And I want Greenwood to succeed. What I find bizarre is he's given Greenwood chances, but Garner, you know, and you've seen all levels at this.
Yeah,
he looks. Yeah. He looked on Tuesday night a level above anything at that level.
You're right. You can't put Greenwood, and I think it's unfair to do that. But it's not just Greenwood, is it? Let's alternate with Greenwood and with Chong, with Gomez, capable players.
So again, Lou's top bit. I didn't see any of Rochdale because I was away, but all I saw was the Twitter reaction when I look back a few days later. He's saying he's not good enough for United. He'll never be good enough.
But how can
you judge a player on one game? We're judging one.
Chong is clearly talented and will compete with lads of his same age group. When you come up against seasoned professionals, it's a different matter.
But that's the clamour for youth. If we play the kids in the Premier League, we'll get battered. And it's not the class of 92. Because as we're putting the mag, the class of 92 playing in 95 had a backbone of a side that would...
Neville said,
they would piss over our side right now.
As Neville said, he said all the way... Look, Neville said when we were talking on Scars the other day that the class 92, that famous comment, we'll never win anything with kids. But you look at the backbone of that team, there weren't no kids there. You had Bruce, you had Keane, Cantona. There were so many good players in that team. That class 92 were surrounded by quality pros. And at the moment, we're bringing kids into a team that's basically a load of old shit.
Giggs came into a team and played a full season before that, you know, obviously before the 96, you know, in the early 90s. But all those class 92 were bled in slowly. So yeah, don't mention Greenwood, you can't play him 20-odd games. He's got to be bled in slowly.
There's two other things, key factors. One is the class of 92, when they come in 95, weren't 17, 18 and 19-year-olds.
Yeah, they were 21 and 22. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Beckham had gone on loan. Preston,
so they were more mature, they were stronger, physically they were better. So that's a different thing. Plus, of course, they came into a side that was successful with better players. It's not the kids that are letting us down. I understand Rashford is frustrated. I understand McTominay. He's limited. It's the experienced players that are letting us down.
Let's be honest. Matic and Mata hardly played. Mata has played a few, but they have hardly played this season. Right. So Rashford.
But there's no quality in
depth. And you can't. This sounds bad because I'm saying I'm writing him off. But where do you stand on Rashford?
So I would say one thing. The biggest concern. So to caveat, I think Ollie should be given time. The roots are with the
owners.
That's
a good word after a 3:30 in the morning session.
The story told us about him buying a dildo for his wife. That's for a whole other podcast.
Uno, if you're listening to this on your little walk, don't heed him.
Can we get back on the United one, please?
So, but when we talk about Rashford, if I'm honest with you, I do think Ollie should be given time. But the biggest concern for me is Rashford was running his arse off a year and a half ago, chasing everything down. He might sometimes have lacked a bit of finesse in finishing. The body language of Rashford, whether it's confidence or whatever, seems to me typifies. That's a concern for me. The fact that Rashford doesn't look like the player.
The worry is that, against Arsenal, how dreadful was Rashford?
Yeah, and I'm not trying to question, but something's happening behind the scenes. It's not like so. I think we are an average team, but I maintain we're better than 10th. We're better than 10th.
But you do 10th.
No, but we are in players.
We should be better than 10th.
To play that position. And at the minute, it's lack of confidence, whether it's lack of experience,
said this on Monday. Did he ask to go right wing and Greenwood up top? Because that is...
But that's damning.
In a game... where you have to win, in a striker that you've pinned your hopes on with Martial on 40, 50 goals, I say we just end up going around.
Who's pinned their hopes on Rashford? Has Rashford said, I'm going to score 20 a season? Martial. Or has we
you
just.
Have to.
Or, no, but no, I know that. No, but have we decided? Have we told him yesterday?
Number nine and Rashford.
Who said?
That's how you ended it. Nick ended it on Monday. But Martial's not fit, and he's inconsistent.
And he's often not fit.
So we go round.
But Rashford is a number nine.
We're talking about going round. Right, so the early 70s. You're seeing Bestie on his slope. Were you having the conversations of now? Did you know that? That side of the early 70s, 71, 72, should not have declined to the extent they did.
Everybody was saying, United can't go down, but they obviously could. And they were awful, in a word.
Yeah. I think it's a spiraling thing, because you think of a club, if we have become an average club, but the pressure at United, even if Liverpool City are dominating the league, it's still United lose at West Ham, four pages in the papers of United.
Yeah, but that's irrelevant.
But it's not relevant to the players, because it puts the pressure on.
It doesn't, though, because they don't ever respond to it.
It puts the pressure on.
But they don't ever respond to it.
But when you say it's too good to be going down...
It doesn't matter if they don't respond to it.
Yeah, but if Wolves go through a bad patch, there's a bit of local pressure, but there's not the pressure. Yeah, what I'm trying to say is the pressure on the players means you can get to a situation where you get plummeted into...
I get what you're saying, but then you should... I get, I'm not saying if you right, sink or swim at United, then you should fucking, you're here to fucking swim.
But you should not be a player who should ever have a doubt about sinking unless you're a youngster.
We had this yesterday on the Eurostar. We were having this conversation. We did a thing on the forum. Where are United going to finish? I honestly, hand on heart, never thought we'd win the league, but I thought third, fourth, worst case, fifth. I thought we're better than a year ago. And the average was six, wasn't it? And I was amazed at that. And now you're looking, the best I think we can achieve is fifth. How? Like, I don't want to be constantly miserable, but I said, to get on a little, we're life serious, life shit. United is our escape crux. We all have shit going on. But we've mentioned it. I didn't want to fucking leave my mortal coil thinking the Scousers could fucking beat us on leagues, they're not on the league. But if we care this much to worry about it all the time, for fuck's sake.
I get your thing, but I just think the reality is the disproportionate pressure on United is making it worse. And I can't see, I think we're 10 years away from
the title. What did the... I know it needed an Eric, but in 92, we're losing it to Leeds. It needed Eric that November because we lost at home to Wimbledon and you didn't... We all talk about 1990. Fergie, 92, autumn, when we lost at home to Wimbledon, fucking the clamour, and he signed Eric. There ain't no Eric. That was all by fate. But the club... The team had the fortitude to recover where we thought left Anfield that day we're never going to win the league, to come back to do it and then do it again and again. And I'm not.
But we're talking about a team that can win the league. This team can't win the league.
But that 1992-93 team wasn't great, but it's better than what we got now.
But the thing is, Barney, you had unity within the club. I mean, whoever Fergie was reporting into believed in what Fergie was doing.
Yeah, but
we haven't got it.
But Fergie and Edwards didn't get on.
Edwards believed in what Fergie could achieve. It was before Gill, but they still believed that Fergie could do it, and in fairness, supported him as well. The Cantona one. Okay, it was £1 million, but it was so off the scale. Like,
yeah,
he needed support from the board.
Who's this?
Yeah.
He needs support from the board. Ollie doesn't genuinely get support off the board on the key things, because we all know that team needed strengthening in a number of areas.
Because the board's a joke as well.
And he didn't get it.
So what have we got to look forward to then? Apart from alcohol.
10th place.
But you're always optimistic.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you'll always keep the faith.
And I think... As I say, I can see where Ollie is coming from, and I'm absolutely delighted at the way he's
But Mike, where do you genuinely think? Where do you genuinely think we'll finish? Where's your genuine end of season
genuinely now, 7th, 8th.
Fucking
hell. So I think forget
and
this season.
That's an optimistic man.
But I think it's better off forgetting this season. The bigger test is how many years away are we from a title? And I think we're 10 years away from a title.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Like, we are 10 years away from a title.
You talked about players
three.
Before.
Well, no, but I honestly think.
Lingard, and he's no longer a young lad, but we all think.
No, he's 27.
Just a minute, let's ignore Lingard. Lingard isn't good enough to be at the club, let alone. Talk about him being a young
but the question is who is
yeah but if you look at Coggy, like, don't look we then pick on scapegoats. I'm not saying not, Lingard has been terrible
no,
for
I can
a
tell
good,
you 10 others that aren't good
but
enough
that's
to be the club
we concentrate on Fellaini, we concentrate on Lingard,
either,
the whole fucking thing is a shambles.
But we're either too young and inexperienced or too old and slow.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
We're in that
but who is good enough to be at the club in that, like, look at that midfield. No one.
I think McTominay.
No, we would have never said that a year ago, and he's put in performance like Barcelona home. He put in a performance which I.
Yeah, but you say that like Fred put in a performance against PSG, but he's still not good enough.
No, but I think McTominay is more consistent.
I think McTominay is bang average.
But McTominay in a good United side, I think you're allowed then to develop. I think he's better than Fletcher.
McTominay is Darren
Fletcher. I think he's got more skills.
Personally, with McTominay, I think if he is allowed to become a defensive midfielder, holding midfielder, at the moment he's too much box to box for my liking. But as an holding midfielder, because he's got strength, he's got a bit of pace to him. He's a good tackler. I think he could actually mature into a good holding midfielder. Nothing more, nothing less. But it's then everybody
around
him.
To me, what I see in McTominay is a player that's got ability, and he's not a bad player, but to me that's why I call him a Darren Fletcher.
But
was Darren Fletcher good enough?
I see him beyond this.
He did a job.
But that's why
you can't rest our laurels on someone like McTominay.
But I think there's a big difference for me.
We're not going forward.
For me, there's a big difference between keeping Lingard at the club and keeping the McTominay at the club.
Oh yeah, no,
at 22,
I agree with that.
23,
I agree with
his
that.
Potential, and he's a good squad player.
I agree with that. But then we're saying our best midfielder currently is an average squad player. There's a lot wrong with that statement. And that's
where are we? You know, we sit like
and that's
today.
What you say 3 years,
buzzed off.
Miles
we on our nightmare journey. Shane got a bit of good news in the real world, which matters the most. I got good news on United ringing me for a return, so I've got the ticket for today. And we said, but the amount we're included in this, the amount of old United fans out here for the trip. Like, as someone said, you can tell United fans by the embalming fluid smell around every bar that they're in. And you think, you know, I don't think that sounds like... I'm not... Because I'm part of it, but... The whole club needs a fucking reboot.
But without getting too serious about it, like, I do care about the football, but we shouldn't forget, if I'm honest with you, like, United winning and challenging in the Champions League versus a Europa League game where we're very average... The fundamentals of coming out with your mates and enjoying it are still the same.
Yeah, but
like, it's still as good in a way.
Of course
it is. I know you shouldn't accept.
I mean, I'll be honest with you, I'd rather United win everything than you lot fuck off, to be honest. but that's just
me. Bloody hell.
But similarly, is there any club that's got
similarly,
a young undercurrent?
That's a good word.
Is there a young undercurrent at any club?
Yeah, no. But you don't encourage.
I don't think there is. I don't think football's changed massively.
We said yesterday, if we had a pay at the gate at Sheffield Saturday. How many? I reckon you get a lot of old ones, but how many young Reds would you get? I reckon you'd get get 15,000.
Yeah, but Barney, you got
a
train.
Picture of a football crowd today. It's 30 years older than a football crowd in the 70s.
But you got a train yesterday with Chelsea fans to Lille.
Yeah.
How old were they?
They're all middle-aged. Football's a middle-aged.
But also they're in a different place. Yeah. What they enjoy is a different thing.
But United don't help themselves. I mean, take for instance Wolves. Wolves in their south bank, which is their choir now. They have put the safe standing barriers up. and their argument to the FA is people standing up anyway, we're doing it for their safety.
Exactly.
So it's generating atmosphere in one of their key ends. What do United do? nothing.
Sit down.
Yeah, but yeah. they're always chasing it.
Yeah, but you know
they should lead. Yeah, I agree. Exactly. United should lead in
and
it.
Take
are we saying
where
this?
United are going to go through official, ways
safe
to do it?
Options.
Yeah,
right.
Just
we,
said,
we've had the
big. We'll talk after the game. I'd rather, because I'm tired of being negative, you know, I'm just fucking tired of going. So you lot, you old uns, older than me, go on, right, your best memory and your best player from the 70s. Why, come on.
George Best was an exciting talent, and I can just remember going with my dad, and I just tugging on my dad's trouser legs and saying, has Georgie got the ball yet? Just absolutely.
Can you remember going to the games
yeah.
then?
I was that following in 1967, so I was lucky enough to see him.
How did you get to Old Trafford then? Describe the day.
I remember my first European game was Gornik Zabra.
For being Georgie Best for breakfast.
And I remember turning up at the ground late at night, the lights shining, the pitch looking green. It might have been a rubbish game.
Yeah.
You know, but all I remember is just looking for Georgie Best on the ball.
Were you standing?
Standing scoreboard paddock with my dad.
Bussing.
God bless his soul.
Bussing. But would you get the bus in?
Walked in, actually. That's close enough to live to Old Trafford. Just loved everything about the night. We won, I think it was 1-0 that night.
We did.
George scored. And I was absolutely made up. George Best was just the absolute best player ever.
Go on, Cobby.
I'll keep it to the 70s.
I did ask the 70s, but you did. That's fair enough.
I'll keep it to the 70s because obviously he's just ignored what you said to him, Barney. my favourite player, and even to this day, although I love Georgie, but from that era, Sammy McElroy. Sammy was, I think, the last of the Busby Babes. Came in the late 60s in his debut at City, but for me he epitomised everything about United, his hunger, his love, the excitement. He was just all United, absolutely loved it. Loads of standout moments, but two in particular for me was the first two games back from the in the first division, and we played Wolves away and Birmingham away on the Tuesday night, I think it was. Won both games 2-0. Wolves away, 20,000 Reds, you know, pay at the door, it filled the South Bank in the side and everything, absolutely
South
amazing.
Bank is tremendous.
Yeah, and then a few days later, we were Birmingham away and as many fans, and people go on about the cop and people, things like that. There was nothing like supporting United in the 70s. You turn up Salford Van Eyre, you know, you go
our first Dutch signing is the old joke, guys.
You go to an away ground, like, you know, and
people just pouring out the back of my head.
And you think, Salford Van Eyre, let's park by them. And they'd open the door, the porno mags would fall out, the party sevens would fall out, 20, 30 people in a space big enough for five or six. It was just an incredible buzz that I feel sorry for people of today. That they've not, and I know I'm an old bastard, but it was such an incredible bonding amongst United fans from all nature. I mean, today, you know, I mean, Mark's a great lad, but he knows fuck all about real United support sort of thing. But no.
Yeah, but Coggy, I love the talk about the old days.
We're talking about, but if we tell,
yeah,
coming to Liverpool. In the night game,
go on.
Salford Van Eyre van.
How many windows did you come back with?
Well, it's very air conditioned.
Do you know something though? Just on that, you know, because a lot of criticism of late of half and half scarfers, which I detest completely. But
well, you nicked
trippers,
them.
But this day trippers.
You wore
thing,
them in the 70s,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, actually.
but
this day trippers term. I was a day tripper. I mean, I might have been 7 or 8 years old. But
still are, though.
My dad used to bring me up for one game a season
point,
or two games
a because every young fan has to start off.
You've got to start off somewhere. You know, and if back in the 70s and 60s, obviously, as well, if you got off the train or at Old Trafford Cricket Ground and you walked up Warwick Road, it would be coach after coach after coach of supporters clubs from Bridgewater, from Aberdeen, from Torquay, Cockney Reds, and you name it.
But that's
and there was. There was a bond there that I actually don't see today, to be honest.
No, there is in the old time. But what there is, I think, I hope we get more United. But what I will say is I buzz off the old stories, but if we keep only saying, you know, like you said, you know, it's not like it is, then we're discouraging the kids. It's not a dig, but you know, we discourage them. They've got to make their own memories. They've got to make their own fucking
lads who grew up in the 60s, in the 80s. I mean, the Chased and Barmy Army in the 80s and 90s.
I was about to say, so I, as probably the youngest around the table, a young man, I started going in the 80s, really. And if I honestly think, you know, we were an entertaining side, but we were a pretty average side for much of that. And I can't remember being happy. Now, I know it's got to do with the age and context, but I can't remember being happier watching United than the 85 Cup final. To me, that epitome. 1985 Cup final, I went to 83, was the first Cup final.
Yeah, but you say,
but 85, it was magical. Magical. But
Shane,
sport,
like, Shane my memory, you know, I went in the 70s so there's hope a lot.
There's hope
but what I'm saying is, my age, really, 80s when I was, you know, became 10 to 18. Yeah. They're still the happiest times in my life. So shit football doesn't equate to shit United times.
But I'll tell you what the difference is. The fundamental difference.
Right, we've got because otherwise, fucking. Not many people listen to this at the best of times. Can I just say hell, if they're listening to work, they've got to fucking go round on the bus again.
The fundamental difference with today, right, versus then, even in the 80s, is Twitter and YouTube channels, because that is as much as anything else dividing fans. The Twitter warriors is divisive, basically. We never had that in the past, because you go to the game, you wouldn't see anybody from one week to the other, and then you'd follow.
But also my feeling was, we grew up in an era where, say, like now, if a group of Reds came in, you immediately went, there'll be people that could become your mates.
Yeah,
and you'd have a respect, you'd look after each other, your Reds, let on to the next. And we're growing up in an era where there's fucking a wariness, or are they a knob, and that is one of the biggest, that and the fucking Scousers revival is one of the saddest things in my life.
Very quick story.
It better be quick,
Okay.
We've got to do it afterwards. Okay. We're on 33 minutes.
Barney, that horrible day at Anfield.
My dongle's not getting erect.
That horrible day at Anfield that you don't like talking about, right? When Leeds won the league.
And I got spat on.
Right?
Loads.
A few days before, we lost at West Ham. Yeah?
Yeah. Kenny Brown.
Okay. I went in the Arkle for a quick drink before the game at Anfield. Okay? No, wearing no colours. I'm in the toilet, and this big bloke next to me turned round and said, "You're United, aren't you?" And I'm thinking, I'm going to get my fucking head kicked in here. And I went, "Yeah, I am." He went, "And now I saw you at West Ham." He said, "Get out the pub quickly, he's going to kick off." And there were a bunch of Cockney Reds in there, and me and Paul left the pub fairly quickly. Within 5 minutes it all kicked off, you know. And like you say, it was that bomb then.
Right, prediction for tonight.
I'm going to get pissed.
United.
I'm just going to get pissed.
Right, to the regiment. Right, so we don't want to be doing this, but we said we'd do an after the game podcast, and it all just degenerated from there. So we're now on the Eurostar back, and we're trying to avoid the sliding doors that go back and forth. And I'm joined with Shane. We're not going to talk much about the football because we've said it all before. Shane has confessed today we had a great night, but it got very messy. Quack seemed a good idea at 3 o'clock this afternoon. Shane has a fantasy about Deirdre Barlow to bring it back to United. In the old scoreboard over J Stand, they actually announced that Deirdre has stayed with Ken, and you think, I always thought that's a really odd thing to fucking announce, because she's just chosen the boring option, hasn't she?
Yeah, in a way, but she showed a bit of loyalty, which is
so you should do to your football club.
A kind of, as we, you know, bring it back to United, she showed loyalty. It might be more interesting to wander off, but she, at the end of the day, she went off. And
she had a dem. Right, okay. Yeah.
But just to clarify, I'm talking about Deirdre Barlow in the early 80s, not like Deirdre Barlow before Rashid as well, when she was in her prime. She
wasn't a fine looking woman, but not this has gone on a tangent because we're getting a lot of disapproving looks on this train because I always thought in the old days when United fans on a year away went, we need a livener. Like the day after a year, I always used to think, Jesus, haven't you had enough? Haven't you had enough to drink? I am that man.
Yeah. So, feeling quite low after a year away, we just had, as we've talked about Deirdre Barlow, we've just had the ticket collector fella asking if we're waiting for tonight. This is weird. Anyway, I thought the game was this, to be honest, it was like. I want to say something positive.
I got a call back with Mark. And we went in to a different end and we got lots of free alcohol in the VIP bit, which they were monitoring us. And someone came over and went, this is not, but I thought someone's going to suss us, we just have to keep drinking, like take one for the team.
So,
but the bloke wouldn't let me have a ham. He said you haven't got the fucking wristband.
So we didn't have free beer. I know a few people were a bit annoyed at the bar where we got the ticket collection closed. But as it happens, I think fairness where it's due. I thought the Dutch stewards were good. There was beer served on the concourse. You could take it into the ground. Yeah, you can't really. Given how we've been treated in Europe, I thought it was quite a good little ground.
Holland's
once
great
inside, yeah. And the Dutch, the Dutch stewards were great. Yeah,
I want the weather of Spain. But I want the Dutch culture because they're so nice.
So it's a lovely city. We met lots of people that went out of their way to
Like if the Den Haag the other night had got to us, they would have apologised for beating me up.
So I thought different ground, nice city to visit. Let's not dress it up. The football was very it was awful. United were awful. I kind of, if I'm honest, the only feather that really caught my eye, maybe it's because I hadn't seen much of him. I know, like Coggy was talking yesterday, watches a lot more of the youth stuff than I do, but I thought Williams like came in and I thought he looked like he didn't have the shackles of sort of negativity. He looked like his confidence wasn't shattered yet, but I thought generally United were very poor, sloppy. Fred giving the ball up, I just thought generally we were slacking possession.
But Fred,
and you're not creating anything. We're not creating anything.
The bizarre, you know, the other week when he came on for 20 minutes, Fred's the answer in midfield.
But
Fred is not. In a million years, Fred is not a Manchester United footballer. Yeah. He's set off all the doors now.
Yeah, so I thought.
He's got the left and the right doors.
I thought they were poor. I actually thought the support were great. I thought it was a good sing song. Which is nice to see, you know, whatever crap is on the pitch, it's still, Euro away is still a great thing. It's a great Beano, and it's great to have a sing song, you know, it's great to see the support like that, but I just thought the team were very poor, and I think it's a sort of game where it was a big opportunity for United to build a bit of confidence. And it got to a stage of thinking, all I want to do is cheer a goal, but you knew it wasn't coming. And I didn't really. I haven't seen any replays. I know a few people said there was a penalty. Should have been a definite penalty. I didn't. Yeah, in the heat of the moment, I can't really judge whether it was or not. But genuinely, we created very, very little. The fact we're having to stand in the corridor to do this because we can't really disturb the other passengers. We've talked that leaving Everton football, we have quiet carriages. I was just saying that there's enough kind of dishevelled men on this train that they could just have one carriage devoted to sort of depraved people, and you know, just show like some probably softcore porn or something. There's something
just something. Just let all the bad uns sit in one carriage,
yeah, but we're
and
not
it's
bad.
A win-win. But then we won't disturb the other
we're
people.
We're not bad,
but we are disturbing. Just having a couple of beers. No, we're not bad. We're just having a beer
quite,
and talking. But people just want to have a sit down.
The quack seemed a great idea earlier.
Business,
but that's the Europe. For me, United is about mates. The culture I ended up with Barmy, Kevin Welsh, who I've not had a proper drink with because I sell. But the football, we are literally, if anyone is listening to this wanting profound talk about tactics, we're fucked. And we said it, we did say, we're fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth.
But you said I was too negative last season and the start of this one, saying we're 10 years away from a title. Anyone watching that last night...
I was more positive.
Anyone watching that last night... And it's not getting on the players' backs now, but anyone watching that last night, let's not pretend we are a long, long way away.
But
the thing is, there's nothing.
But
there's
Shane,
nothing.
I was more positive at the start of the season. I actually thought, and as I say, Pochettino, Woodward's met him twice, but you got your time. I thought we'd do better than this. I still think we're shit. But we're better than this.
But there's no.
But how's that not? No, but that's like we were saying, the map. We met a scout in the ground while me and Mark were supping red wine in the free bit, and we met a scout from Southampton, and he said interesting things for the next mag about what United are now. And you think, if we said earlier, if a scout from Southampton is not saying anything unsurprising, but how we're fucked. Then every club knows we're fine.
So I think that's a great way. When you said whatever we think of Pochettino, it's Woodward talking to him. Woodward is not, all due respect, he's not a qualified football man. We know we're going round and round in circles, but there's no structure at the club to build this bottom up like Fergie done in the late 80s, early 90s.
Let Pochettino recover himself, and we'll get him in 3 or 4 years. Ollie ain't daft. That's the one thing he isn't daft. We are literally, you may as well not listen to another fucking podcast this season. Because we'll just, so we may as well talk about anything.
So what was great, Den Haag was a great, as you said, the people, massively friendly. There was that,
apart from the blokes who
I thought it was Groats Marts, is it called, the square, with all the, looked a bit Christmassy with all the lights. It was fantastic. Seeing the usual faces on the UOA, just a great buzz. And in spite of the football, as we said yesterday, when it comes down to the fundamentals, the enjoyment of the whole experience is more or less equal to it. It's just like the game itself.
But we can't lose on Sunday. We can't. If we lose on Sunday, the shitstorm that you're always trying to keep a metre ahead of yourselves comes and descends on Ollie big time. So that's up to the players. But why play I thought that was quite a strong team yesterday.
Yeah,
why play that? Why play De Gea? I don't know. We don't know if Romero was injured.
So I don't know. I know you disagree yesterday, but I do think the United comes. I know that we should say the players should be able to cope with it, but it's not always as easy as that. But there's an extra pressure that comes to United. The press are all over them. If that was Wolves, it goes under the radar. This is United.
Yeah, but it comes to the Paul
Pogba
thing.
So the confidence, the pressure, every move is...
Brian Robson played in a shit team and lifted that team.
But we haven't got
Brian
Robson.
So the debate... No, but the debate about Paul Pogba, he was with great players.
Yeah, yeah.
If you are a great player, you are a great player.
But
he wasn't even... Yeah, it's irrelevant.
But we've got what we've got. And the players...
Yeah, but what are we?
We're quite a fragile squad. So I think, let's be... Maybe, just maybe, Rashford gets a break. One goes in on Sunday, and that will trigger his confidence. And he might.
Yeah, but he's not going to score 25 goals.
I know.
We all knew that at the start of the season. You know, when the marks that, we were saying, you're debating Vardy, Llorente, fucking Zlatan.
Yeah.
Manchester United should be better. But we've had a great Euro.
Yeah, good.
With mates, watching United.
And thanks for the kind souls who bought the magazine. Gave away a fifth.
I want that 3 euros back. Cheers, everyone. We'll be back after whatever.